Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WOKV.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:07 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV. As the host of Larry's Garden, you've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector. You've seen me on Home and Garden television and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. Here comes the number. Write it down. Archive it in your phone.
Yep.
855-765-1045. And for those of you on the International Space Station, I'll do it slower. These things go slower in space.
Yes.
855-765-1045.
Going to sleep on that one.
That was my late night FM voice.
Late night. Well, you're out of luck on
me
that
one. Me and Delilah.
Delilah.
Baby, my it's cold luck. Outside. Went to 57 yesterday. Yeah. They say it could be as low as 50 coming up.
It seemed a little warmer this morning, didn't it?
Yeah, I was perfectly comfortable.
Right.
But it does have an impact as the weather changes in the garden.
Yeah, absolutely, it does.
In the home.
Well, the most important thing it does in the lawn care thing is that, you know, we have these warm
most
days.
Important thing is you're not sweating your bazoogies off taking care of the lawn.
Oh, my God, when we walked out there, it was like heaven. Yeah. You know, for a couple of days when it was like in the 70s during the day. I mean, we just couldn't believe how nice it was. But you really appreciate that after you've been working in 100 degree days.
Oh yeah, and the humidity.
Yep. But the lawn is the funguses are changing the lawn. I've already seen it coming up, a brown patch. And when you have high daytime temperatures and you have low nighttime temperatures, it will produce brown patch. And this is the conditions that brown patch like. It doesn't like it in the high summer when you have high nighttime temperatures and high daytime temperatures. So preemptively, you're going to be ahead of the game. And this is what occurs during the winter. You'll see those little orange, yellow patches in the yard. And they just pop up here and
there. Should I worry? Should I take action?
You should take action, yeah, because it can kill the grass. So it's unsightly. So just a little bit of fungicide out right now. And that would be the best pathway to success.
Fungicide of choice this time of year?
It's very easy to kill.
Doesn't matter.
Propiconazole, and just grab any lawn fungicide, it shall do the trick.
Good.
And it stops it immediately. But then you put it on and water it, it's very effective. And on your lawn care, you want to, you know, go to Home Depot or Lowe's and get yourself a bag of Mill Organite and put a couple bags on that. That helps winterize.
Is there any reason I would lean toward Mill Organite, big national
or Green
brand?
Edge.
I was going to mask, Green Edge. They're functionally the same.
Yeah, yeah. One comes from Milwaukee, one comes from here.
Yeah.
You know, it's human sledge.
For the unknown, or not the unknown, those who may not recognize, right. Green Edge is produced from the sludge of JEA sewage plants.
Right, right. Exactly.
Well, Oregonite, you don't know where that
comes from. Well, it's allegedly comes from Milwaukee. That's where it comes from. Originally started in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. We should have called ours Jacksonite.
Jacksonite, yeah, exactly. You know, but
known for some good poo.
It has a southern, you know, a little more fried chicken in there, and you know, but the turnip greens and all that stuff.
Milorganite, the poo that made Milwaukee famous.
You know, you got grits down here. It's a great way to winterize your grass. I find that it's very effective, you know, organic, make the soil healthy, and also put a little bit of, you know, winterizer fertilizer, if you like, on that. And having sales of it at Home Depot's, Lowe's, or your local garden center. If you're your do-it-yourselfer, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so get the lawn care going and get ready for winter. I don't know if we're going to have a cold winter or warm winter. I'm thinking we're going to stay on the warm side. You know, that's my gut feeling on it. But we shall shortly find out. It's a coin toss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a coin toss. But we can get in those cold winters. But I have found over, you know, 20, 30 years of doing lawn, taking care of lawns, that if you treat with a little bit of Milorganite or Green Edge, you know, a couple times deer before winter, and maybe if you can take a little bit of fish emulsion and then some you know, winterized fertilizer, your lawn will not even turn green. Turn brown. No, we want it to be green. No. But even when we've had cold winters, the lawn stays green. You know, so
yeah,
that's some of the ways to, you know, improve the overall look right there. We were also talking about our native trees, some of our great native trees that we had.
If I've got zoysia.
Yeah, yeah.
Will the Milorganite still keep me green through winter?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. It does a great job in keeping the lawn green during the winter. I don't really understand all the details of it, but it does a great job. That and a little bit of fish emulsion is always. I'm talking about when we've had some severely cold winters. I've gone to Orange Park and
it's
the lawn.
It's just like
is
people. If you're green. Feeling strong and healthy, you endure the cold reasonably
healthy.
Well.
The grass healthy
is not
lawn.
Strong and healthy,
right.
It gets whacked by the
exactly.
cold.
Exactly. Exactly. If it's stressed out, it's at the end of the summer, it hasn't had any fertilizer, and it's going into summer.
What do you figure stresses out grass, man? It's like, I can't pay the mortgage payment.
Heat stresses
my flowers
out. Too much
up
water.
With me.
You know, it's pretty stressful.
Oh, that
grass.
Kind of stress.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that heat, that 100-degree day really hard on on plant material.
Right.
You know, most plant materials, not all of them, but so keeping the grass looking good, you know, and so it looks good for the holidays. You know, you plant your poinsettias outside, it's nice and green, and it looks nice. We've been talking about native trees. You know, we're trying to bring some of the native trees into the landscape. And, you know, one of my favorite native trees is, of course, the bald cypress, but you know, it gets a little bigger. And people would have a little smaller landscapes. We have another type of tree, a cypress. It's called Taxodium ascendens. It's a pond cypress. It grows in the low oxygen, stagnant water places, you know. And the great benefit of this, it doesn't get big. It doesn't get as big. It can get tall. But it stays narrow and then its foliage is slightly different. It's up more.
So when I go way up Julington Creek, up Durbin Creek in the boat, and I see those cypress standing in water, their feet are continually wet. That's the same tree.
Well, you can tell their foliage is upright. It grows upright instead of going horizontal. But normally you're going to see them in landlocked areas where it's
in a pond.
In a pond, soggy, you know, not where there's no flowing water.
Got it.
You know,
so that is a different species.
Right, a different species. But you plant it in a dry area, and it normally doesn't set up knees. So knees are a problem with cypress. You know, just cut them off. It doesn't really seem to have any effect on them. I've been cutting them off for years, but they're one of the ultra tough trees. A tree that you can grow grass under, grows in a compact area, has good fall color. It's actually a conifer.
I lived down on the river down in Orangedale. Had a damp area in the back with a lot of those trees. Mm-hmm. And if you hit one of those nubs in a riding lawnmower in speed number 6,
you're going airborne.
The airbag deployed on my lawnmower. It was crazy.
You had an airbag on a lawnmower?
Yeah.
No,
you don't?
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had an airbag. I had a harness.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, I had a Hans device, just like the NASCAR guys. I haven't mowed a lawn in 15 years, but when I was mowing the lawn, I got that thing going as fast as I could get it to go.
So
I had a nitrous bottle on my lawnmower.
I bet.
You want to see pictures?
No, yeah, I want to see the pictures.
I'll post them online.
I'll post them online. But the pond snipers will avoid your, getting your lawnmower clipped. You know, the best thing, if you get... get those knees and you like cypress, just take a Sawzall and cut the tops off of them.
Yeah.
You know, Sawzall has that flexible blade. You can just lay it down, bend it, and just cut right off of the
top. And you can get the Sawzall now in the cordless.
Right.
So you don't need to worry about electrocuting yourself while you're standing in the marsh.
Right,
or at
exactly.
least quite as intense.
Exactly. Yeah. We were using the Sawzall the other day, and we were using our electric one. I said, make sure you pump that out before you stand
in the
water.
Have you ever hit your own electric cord using an electric saw?
No.
That's very exciting.
Oh, yeah. I bet you every circuit breaker, you know, in the house goes going out on that.
Slows down the project, too.
Oh, yeah. 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 There's a lot of swearing. But the pond cypress has beautiful fall color, and it has those small, you know, they live about 1,000 years. You know, they're one of the longest living trees, 1,000 years. You know,
which one?
Bald cypress. Yeah. Pond cypress.
My dining room table is guessed to be 900 years old.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, I got that. It was a swamp log. It was recovered from the Caloosahatchee River.
Oh, it was a cypress log.
Yeah, a good one.
Yeah.
He was one of the swamp logger guys.
Right.
So the guess was that it had been lost. The log was lost in the mm-hmm. Caloosahatchee River for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. And then the number of rings, and some of them were so tight you couldn't count.
Right.
But the best estimate we could do was over 700 years old when that log went down. So my dining room table is, in fact, 900 years old.
So the actual log was seven. The
more than
700 years old.
And it had been underwater for more than 100.
Wow.
So in toto, I guess I use the number 900 years when I'm talking about it.
Yeah, the cypress, girth of the tree is
crazy large.
Yeah, they can get a crazy. There's one in
some of them 20, 30 feet around.
Mexico, they say, is there's a debate whether the sequoia or the cypress is the bigger round.
There is a cypress up the Durbin Creek, the south, where the Julington Creek goes south, that I'm going to guess its circumference is at least, I don't know. I'm going to guess it's 12, 15 feet around.
Wow.
It's monstrous.
Right. There's the
monstrous.
The state champion, I think, is called the senator.
There's very few of those left. Some of those big ones got whacked.
Most all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why they end up on the bottom of rivers.
Right.
And why they're so valuable. There's just nothing that large anymore.
Right.
You know, when you have make a table out of something that was.
A plank is huge.
It was a singular plank. The table was 4 by 9 feet.
4 by 9 feet. The plank is 4 foot.
Left the rough wane on the edges.
Wow.
Gorgeous. And it's about 3 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
Takes 6 men and a boy to move the damn thing.
Well, cypress is a very, you know, there's one unique thing about cypress, about building houses.
It doesn't rot.
It doesn't rot, but it has the least amount of movement of any wood.
Because the grain's so tight.
It just doesn't absorb much water.
Yeah.
You know, when I was building my windows, I built my own windows. I built them out of cypress. Out of cypress. So the thing about them, I was reading the U.S. Department of Agriculture said there's the least amount of movement in that joint.
The house I just moved out of this weekend on Scott Mill was built in 1976, so it's 43 years old.
Yes.
The cypress had never been painted, and it's just fine.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. It's a very water resistant. And it's a beautiful wood. It doesn't sand well, but I mean, it will, with patience, you can do it.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's 6:20 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls. We're enjoying our day, and our day gets even better when we hear from you at 855-765-1045. 6:26 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Enjoying the day together. Taking your calls at 855 765-1045. Monumental weekend this past weekend.
Yes.
The Scott Mill house is gone.
All right.
Now living over in the little spot there on the Ortega River, that's just dandy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even though we've done over 35,000 home inspections at HomePro, there's nothing like the experience of selling your own home and buying your own home to kind of refresh what this is all about. It's a little bit like taking care of your own lawn. Gives you just a little special appreciation. One of the things I learned, obviously, we pre-inspected the house. You know, I had one of my staff do it, so I wouldn't jade it. And when we were able to present the home, not only the idea that we had pre-inspected it, but who did any upgrades or repairs. A lot of times when you're preparing to sell your house, you do a lot of do-it-yourself or fixer-upper stuff in preparation. We did it a little different. We had everything done professionally by top-notch companies, and it completely removed the concerns of the buyer.
Right.
So as an example, they said, okay, we put this new roof on. It's 3 years old now. It's a GAF. It was put on by Master Elite Dealer of the Fidus Group. And they were like, oh, that's good. I'm comfortable. And then when the insurance company notified the buyer of the house and said, hey, this house has had significant hurricane damage. So then the buyer came back to us and said, hey, the insurer says they've got questions and we've got concerns about the damage to your house in a hurricane. I said, yeah, you're right. It was Hurricane Matthew. A tree did this. And here's all the documentation from the Fidus Group. It rebuilt the roof. They rebuilt the trusses. This is all of the documentation that our frontline company did the work rather than the handyman did this and that. When the electric panel, I originally had one of those Georgia Pacific electric panels, Federal Pacific, stab block panels. Everybody's worried about it. We had changed the panel out to a modern panel. I don't even remember who put it in, what brand. But anyway, it said, okay, this has the American Electrical sticker right on it. And they're like, oh, American Electrical did that? Yep. They're like, okay, next. Mm-hmm. Same way with the heat pumps. Got new heat pumps. Got all this stuff going on. Who did that? Snyder did that. Got the sticker right on it. Mm-hmm. They questioned nothing in the condition of the home because the documentation substantiated.
It's important.
It was done by real companies as opposed to done by some knucklehead on Craigslist and whatnot.
Right.
So you sit and say, well, I could save a lot more money if I did these repairs by myself prepping the house. And you're right, you can. However, on significant systems, if you can substantiate they were done by significant companies, it's my opinion, though I don't know that there's big data on this, you actually increase the value of the home and minimize the negotiation issues on the home because you can substantiate it was done.
Yeah, that's always the best way to
companies.
Do it. Right?
Now, here's all the warranties. Here's
all
the guarantees.
Takes all the worry out of it.
Yeah, and they also know that when things go wrong in the future, which they will, stuff breaks, stuff fails, storms happen. They go right back to those same companies who had previously done the install, upgrade, or repair, and it makes it simpler and faster and less expensive because you don't get into the finger-pointing where someone says, oh, I never do it that way and all that other crap. So something to keep in mind, working with your real estate agent when you're prepping your home for sale, never underestimate the value of doing proper repairs.
Yeah.
It's 6:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. We'll be right back. Show 636. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. By gosh, we're having fun and love hearing from you at 855-765-1045. That number works well whether you are listening here on terrestrial radio. What are we called? News 104.5, WOKV, DWOKV app, WOKV.com, and also a special shout-out to those watching the live video stream on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Let's check in with Trevor, who's getting ready to plant some plants. Trevor, what plants do you hope to plant?
Hey, guys, good morning. Thanks for a great show. I'm looking to
build
a hedgerow on the along my backyard along a white vinyl fence. So I'm looking at doing 16 plants, thinking like 14 podocarpus and a slim bottle brush on either side. And I was curious, do you think I want to do it this upcoming weekend? Is this still a good time of season to plant those plants, or should I hold off for spring, or is there something else entirely that you recommend I even choose?
Well, podocarpus is a decent a plant, you know, if you got good sun and some shade. Actually, you know, when people ask me this all the time when they're deciding whether to landscape or plant plants or do something, the best time, if you were going to say there's a best time, you want to look at all the finer details and collect all the positives and everything, the best time is now. It's, you know, because the plant, when the plant is semi-dormant, it's or not growing as vigorously, it doesn't demand as much water, it's not 100 degree days, it's the soil temperature is warm, so the root system grows. So it has time to establish itself during this, with the fall season, the winter, not a lot of stress, you know, heat, water demand, all these things that are demand. When you plant a plant in the summer, it demands water, fertilizer. It's under a lot of heat stress. Contrary to what people would think, is that the winter is the, in the fall is the best time to landscape. You're always going to get the best results from perennials or anything that are planted in the winter, in the fall, always. And same thing with your podocarpus. Planting them now, you're going to have much better results. The roots are going to be established. You're going to get much, upward growth, much more upward growth. But I mean, if you got full sun, podocarpus is a great plant, you know, to plant as a hedge.
I'd also consider that, ask you this question, Trevor. Would you rather be out there digging 12 or 15 holes when it's 55 degrees or 100 degrees?
Yeah, I'll take 55.
I mean, no kidding. It's
an enjoyable experience. I mean,
exactly.
When you're out there working at 70 degrees, it's an enjoyable, invigorating experience, you know, doing something. You're not wiping the sweat and off your face, and where's the glass of water? You know what I mean? But podocarpus is a great plant. Very few pests. It can get aphids occasionally, but is it full sun?
It is.
Okay, it will do great. I agree.
What is the orientation of the fence? Does it run north, south, east, west?
Let's see. I'm going to say I'm pretty sure it runs east west.
East west. So that is. So then, are you planning on the north side of the fence or the south side of the fence?
South side of the fence.
Okay, so you will in fact be full sun all the time. People don't consider the fence and the orientation. You can say, oh, I'm in full sun, but you're actually in 50%
shade. Do you
have
an irrigation system, Trevor?
I do.
You may consider putting a hook on up a drip line so it could run during the temporarily up to one of your zones and just run that zone every day for it's very simple to hook up a drip line, wrap it around there and let it run during the winter, all winter long, and then your plants will be well established. Put a little bit of mill organite, maybe some fish emulsion in there, a little bit of fertilizer on the hole, and the roots will continue to grow. You got to consider that our winters are like spring. You know, if you live in Wisconsin, our winter is like a spring day. So it's a great planting time for them, you know. And I've read all kinds of university studies about planting in our temperate zone or our moderately cool area. The winter plantings always get the best results. All right?
Okay. Hey, are you guys fans of Slim Bottle Brush in terms of trying to just add some color?
Bottle Brush is going to get very big and kind of a dome shape. So I don't know. It's going to give it a lot of room. It would be inconsistent with what you have planned. You have the upright growth, and you're going to have a kind of a, you know, a misshaped.
How about if you go on layers? Layer this from the fence.
I'm not sure. I like a bottle brush, you know, but I'm not sure if it goes good with a hedge. The hedge idea.
Okay.
It's kind of a, you know, I'm not. If you kept it trimmed, no problem. But as a alternate, maybe a crepe myrtle, pink velour, a small crepe myrtle. Or a Catawba crepe myrtle would be a nice alternate as far as color. You're looking for some color on the terminal end. That would do. Or even a camellia. A camellia would do well, you know, because it has the same shape and texture, and it has a winter flower. That would be another one. Sasanqua grows better in the full sun. All right?
Terrific. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Good luck,
Thanks.
Trevor. Let's check in with Richard, see if we can help him rid his universe of sand spurs. Welcome, Richard.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Richard, how big of an area do you have sand spurs in?
It's about 750 square feet.
750 square feet. Okay.
Richard, are you bagging your grass right now?
No.
Bag the grass because it's dropping a lot of seed right now. The best thing, the approach is what kind of grass you got?
Bahia.
Bahia, yeah. Well, the problem with the sand spurs is that there's a lot of herbicides that will work on sand spurs, but they kill the grass. You know, they work more with, zoysia or other types of grass. But bagging the grass is your key element right now. You're getting all the seeds up. And then the second thing is that when it starts to warm, you put down pre-emergent every two months. Every 2 months, you put down application pre-emergent. And Pre-M is a brand that you could get easily at any Home Depot, Lowe's, or local garden center. And, but every couple months, you want to put it down. And that will really retard the growth of the it actually kills the emerging seedlings.
You could also put on some corduroy pants and a hooded sweatshirt and just roll across the lawn. Pick those babies
but,
right up.
But it's going to take probably 2 years to, effectively get it reduced down to, a situation. But once you get the pre-emergent out, you're going to be increase the density of the grass. You'll be in good shape. So, bagging the grass right now is your best bet.
So right now I should do what and wait just to spring? I know what you say about spring. What should I do right now, then?
Bagging the grass.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Because you're collecting thousands and thousands of seeds. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the spurs,
And the spurs. Yeah.
Yeah, they're awful. All right. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Working with Anthony here to see if we can get the squirrels out of his trees. Welcome, Anthony. What tree do you have?
I have a beautiful, about a 25-year-old oak tree that I paid and had put in when I first built my home on the west side, Marietta.
And the squirrels are eating the bark on your tree?
If you stand out in the street and look at my beautiful canopy, on the outer edge of the whole tree, there's dead, the tenderest limbs on the outside. There's brown spots all over. And I've discovered that the squirrels are, besides getting the leaves for their nest, they're actually chewing the tender bark off the new growth. Huh. So there's strips of bark about 6 inches long.
Why don't you feed the squirrels? Those dudes are hungry.
Well, are they building nests right now?
Squirrels are building, yes.
Yeah, but in years past, they get little limbs. They break them off and make nests. But this year, they're actually peeling back some bark on about a half-inch square limb.
Half-inch square limb. That's a pretty good-sized limb, yeah. You sure you don't have any type of insects? Like, there's an insect that gets on the twig girdlers. They'll bore into the tips of the trees, they'll drop all. You'll see a bunch of them on the ground all at once. You don't have that?
Oh, I'm sure. But on the outer edge of the tree, the limbs, before they get a quarter inch around, they're like half inch. They're going for them half inch around limbs, and they just chew until they peel back, because some of it falls in my yard. I see them chew it and they drop it.
You see them doing it. Okay, the squirrels.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to see what I can do to deter them,
Right. The best, I think Wally's got the best idea, feed the things. Yeah, because, get a...
They're not eating it. They're using it for
Trap them.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You could trap them. You probably got 40 of them, right?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, trap them.
Yeah. If I just pop at them with a BB gun, would that aggravate them enough to move to another tree? Because there's tree in my immediate area that has the same problem.
I mean, you get a human aggravated tree.
Yeah, you might just consider spraying the hose on them. You don't need a neighbor shooting squirrels in New York.
You're shooting the squirrel. Make squirrel pie out of them. I'm all for squirrel pie.
Yeah, you're not just like Bodine. You can't be doing that.
I really don't want to kill them, Yeah. I thought there might be some secret vinegar formula I could put out or something.
Well, you can spray up in the tree. There's a stuff made in made, comes from Finland. It's called Skid, S-K-Y-D. It was very, very powerful retardant. And it's, you can spray the tree with it. Yeah, you can buy it online.
What if a deer repellent sprays
it's
up
a deer
in the
repellent.
Tree?
It's a deer repellent. It's an animal repellent.
Same thing.
Got it. Yeah, I've seen them at the pet store.
Finland, because they have a lot of deer.
Yeah.
Reindeer. Okay. I'll try some repellents, because that's readily available at, like, PetSmart. You see dog repellent or snake repellent.
Yeah, you can buy this online. But the thing is, you got a large oak tree. I mean, how are you going to get it up there? You got to have the
sprayer
to get it up there.
Your sprayer.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's a sprayer. You know, you got to have something that shoots 40 feet, 40 or 50 feet.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And try not to get on yourself. Make sure you get a wear a hat and glasses and all that.
It also repels people. You know?
Right, right. Okay, now if I saturated the trunk of the tree with some kind of repellent, you think that's – because they come down every day, of course, you know.
Do they come down every day from the tree?
Oh, yeah.
I would, try, tree to tree. You know, mill organite around the base of the tree.
Okay, I got
mill organite is now being labeled as a deer repellent. They're working on being labeled as deer repellent.
There's
farmers in Georgia use it all the time as deer repellent. They don't try maybe some mill organite around the base of the tree.
Okay. All right. I'll do that, sir. And thank you. I enjoy the show every week.
Thanks, Anthony. Thank you, have a great day. You know, I'll tell you another thing about squirrels.
Yeah.
If you have gutters, like I have gutter helmet. Well, I don't have a house anymore, but I had gutter helmet. The house had gutter helmet on it, so we never had debris in the gutters.
Right.
But if you have gutters that has debris in it, rather than have to go clean it, you just get a big bag of peanuts, really big bag, throw the peanuts up onto the roof, and they fall into the gutter, and the squirrels forage in the gutter to get the peanuts, and they clean your gutters for you.
I like that idea.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't do any harm.
There.
It's not expensive. You're not using any chemical.
Right.
Slinging peanuts up into the gutter.
Put the peanut on the bottom.
Well, that's kind of hard to do. If you climbed up there to put the peanut on the bottom, you can clean the gutter yourself.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You just get them up there foraging around. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Not worried about it.
Do you know the Netherlands is the number two agricultural producer in the world? The Netherlands, that small little tiny place, is the number two in exports in the world of agricultural products.
But do you know?
Yes.
Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
When I grew up, you grew up.
Yes.
Tanya grew up, hated Brussels sprouts.
Right.
And some dude in the Netherlands tried to figure, I love them now. I eat them all the time. I roast them. They're delicious. It turns out that through the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, they were hybridizing Brussels sprouts to get a greater yield.
Right.
And in the process of getting the greater yield, they had a bitter taste. They didn't taste very good.
Right, right.
Well, some guy in the Netherlands figured out, hey, this is why kids don't like Brussels sprouts.
Oh, he's a genius.
He got all these heritage-type seeds and rehybridized for a sweeter taste.
Less bitter taste, yeah.
And over the last 10 years, the worldwide or American consumption of Brussels sprouts has quintupled.
Quintupled, okay. I like that word.
That means five.
Yeah, yes, I understand.
They're not tasted. Yeah, but it's interesting.
Yeah, Brussels sprouts.
So those people who
are on the rise
grew up not liking the taste of Brussels sprouts. That's why they tasted crappy, and they taste better now. You get good fresh Brussels sprouts.
Right, exactly.
Feel good about it.
You know that avocados. We were talking about avocados.
Yeah.
That the avocados have become so popular. The production, the cost of avocados going up, that the Mexican cartels are trying to control avocado production.
Well, they need something to control now that virtually every state has free, or not free, but legal marijuana situation.
Right.
That's devalued.
Throw down the cost of marijuana.
Yeah, it's devalued that illegal trade, so now they go for avocados.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6:51 here at News 104.5 WOKV. Brief break, jumping right back to you with your calls. Love hearing from you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Wow. Look, some good music there.
Yeah.
I love that. It's 6:57 here at News 104.5. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here enjoying the day. Grateful that you're with us. Should you be considering a large landscaping project or a small landscaping project? Could be the design, could be the install, could be the maintenance. It could be whatever to make your yard a source of pride and pleasure. Consider this. Larry'sGarden.com. Got the blog, video, lots of examples of great things that have been done all over the region. You can just pilfer those and do it yourself if you like. you can get a hold of Larry, and they'll get that design, and then you can do it yourself. Or you can get a hold of Larry. They'll do that design and install it for you. Then you can maintain it yourself. Or you can get a hold of Larry at Larry's Garden. He can design it, install it, and maintain it. That's right. A pretty good group of choices.
Yeah.
You can do everything.
A,
you
B,
can do
C,
nothing.
A, B, C, D, E, and F, G.
And all of the above.
Yeah.
That website, again, larrysgarden.com. The phone number, 346-1970. If you are outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, you would need the area code 904-346-1970. 600 people roughly will purchase a home, write a contract for their home within the sound of our voices. And if you hear me, Home Pro Inspections can serve you. Love to do that for you. The website, gohomepro.com. Home inspections, commercial building inspections, take care of the WDO scheduling for you. If you need any environmental sampling, be that water or lead, air, anything that needs to be done in the due diligence for the purchase of the home or commercial building, we can take care of that and love to do that for you. If you'd like to call and have a conversation about that, we actually have people in the office ready to take your call. That number for Home Pro Inspections is 268-8211. The area code for those down in Daytona or up in Brunswick or elsewhere, 904-346-1970. And just one last reminder on that. That is also the home of the 18-month home warranty and the five-year roof leak protection plan. I am still mesmerized that people choose a home inspection company.
Oh, it doesn't offer.
Yeah. Well, the warranty company at 12 when they could get 18. But every single home inspection, Home Pro Inspection does, has a five-year roof leak protection plan. It'll pay up to 4 years to repair the roof.
Wow.
And you leak. And if you choose, you can take the money and apply it toward a new roof, and you can choose your own contractor.
Wow.
There's actually over $100,000 in protection when you blend all the things together. Yet there are still some crazy reasons people don't. It is 7 o'clock here on News 104.5 WOKV at the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News, traffic, weather, more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
It is 7:07 here at News 104.5 WOKV. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Home and Garden Show. The Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday,
yes,
right here on News 104.5 WOKV from 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. Home and Garden Show is also live streamed all across the world on Facebook, on YouTube, and LinkedIn, so you can see us and enjoy us and be with us wherever you happen to be. Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill.
That's me.
From Larry's Garden, who brings us 20 plus years of toiling in the soil. Share his ideas and answer your questions. Me, Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, 20 plus years crawling about in attics and crawl spaces, looking at houses and determining what needs to happen next. Taking your calls, we enjoy that ever so much, at 855-765-1045. I would be remiss if I didn't mention two things, Lawrence.
What's that?
One, it is our Veterans Day weekend,
yep.
Monday being Veterans Day, where we celebrate and honor those veterans who have served in the armed forces over the last few hundred years. You and I are among them, Navy veterans. And a big shout out to all of our fellow veterans and their families for the great things that continue to occur. So that's a good thing. The other,
absolutely,
this is Florida Georgia weekend.
Oh, yeah.
If you're living in Florida,
the wild weekend.
If you're from Georgia, it's Georgia Florida weekend.
Right.
Known as the world's largest cocktail party out there at RV City, and all the other good things that happen. If you are visiting from Georgia, welcome. We're happy to have you here. Spend lots of money. While you're here, it would be great if you bought a home. That would be good. And if you're curious, while your corn's not growing or whatever, give us a ring here at 855-765-1045. We're giving, for the next hour, head of the line for Bulldog callers, and just welcome you here and a reminder, you know, use your turn signal, be safe, and all that other stuff.
Right.
Seems like every year some knucklehead manages to get themselves killed at Florida Georgia. I don't quite understand that. Yeah. But
we'll put them right next to the other names.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little thing we should have at the stadium.
Right.
In honor of their last football game. In all seriousness, you don't want that to occur.
Right.
It's a really bad thing.
Bad way to end the weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got that out of the way. I am living presently in a storage locker. That's been a good thing. I had mentioned, you know, moving from Scott Mill over toward the Ortega River. We went from 2,600 feet down to 1,000 feet.
Wow.
2.5-car garage down to no garage. That means we got boxes, 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 boxes
on top
of boxes. It's really been interesting. Tanya's been working super hard.
We should just burn everything, start all over again.
Well, we sold a lot of stuff. Yeah. You know, I sold my MG. We sold just all kinds of furniture.
I can't believe you sold your Fanta can.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll show you the video of the final ride. A little tear going down my cheek.
Uh-huh.
It was a great thing. But it's been interesting making that transition from more than an acre to no dirt at all. Mm-hmm. And lots of space to not much space
at all.
That
car was in your family for how long? I
mean, 20 years.
20 years.
Trying to make me feel bad. You want me to cry on air?
Yeah, I mean, it was your dad's car, wasn't it?
It was mine. I gifted it to him, and he gave it back to me when he passed away.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess I took it when he passed away. Actually, I got it before I got it. It sounds like I snatched it. When he was passing away, we knew he was passing away. So he came up and got the car.
Okay.
So now I feel bad. Here, you just finish the show. I'm going to go sit in the corner.
All right.
Anyway, it's kind of interesting. And one of the things we are committed to, we have this balcony. We're on the third floor. A balcony.
You have three floors there?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How do you – I mean, you got to walk up three stairs?
It's only two flights up the front side.
Oh, no. I can't imagine you bought a house the third floor up there.
It's 19 steps.
19 steps. You count the steps because
I know you
want to keep your physical exertion at the absolute minimum.
Yeah, it's kind of counting down each time. But we're committed to making this.
Right.
We're high, so we're on the third floor, but the trees are right up against it.
That's kind of cool.
So we're in the foliage and the canopy.
Right.
Which is real neat. You still see the water and all of it.
Yeah.
And then to make it more dimension, we're getting the foliage and the plants, the foliage, the hanging plants, so that it layers. So the canopy, which
neat.
Is like
neat.
3 feet from the balcony, right? And then we have a line at the wall.
How many square feet is the balcony?
It's about 400.
Well, that's not too bad.
It's a
good
size.
Balcony. That's
yeah.
a pretty good size balcony.
It's a good size. Well, the one I had before when we were on Scott Mill was 30 by 20. It was over 600 feet.
That's a good size balcony.
This one might not be 400. I'm going to guess it's 10 by 20. Maybe it's down toward 250.
250?
Yeah.
Still, that's pretty good.
It's a good size.
Yeah.
And but anyway, we're doing layers of planting. So we'll have plant hanging and plants standing inside the sliding glass, outside the sliding glass, at the balcony wall, and then into the canopy. So it's jungle.
How about some dwarf bamboo? You can get some dwarf bamboo.
I have one.
You have one?
My aunt Dottie. You know my aunt Dottie from New Jersey? She sent us the dwarf bamboo for a house.
They make great indoor plants. I mean, or not indoor plants, but they make great container plants.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll be very...
What about when it gets cold?
Oh, no, they can take the cold.
Yeah.
They don't get that cold here. That's anyway.
But I do have one.
Yeah.
It's a small one. It's not even a gallon. It's probably.
You can even get some, I would think would be neat would be get some black bamboo. I mean, how many feet is the
roof?
The roof line.
It's not high.
No, okay. We got to stick with black dwarf.
Yeah, it's seven.
7 feet, okay.
Yeah. And it's cast concrete.
Right.
I have a concrete balcony.
Cast concrete. That thing is bulletproof.
It is. Well, I've shared with you before.
Yeah.
It was built in 1969 as overflow housing for overflow officer housing during the Vietnam War.
Right.
So the floors are poured concrete. It's a parking garage.
Right.
The roof deck is pre-stressed concrete panels.
Well, you got to put some flagstone on this.
You could shoot a howitzer at this thing. And it wouldn't put a hole in it. I mean, it's just like unless you shot through the window, in which case I'm toast.
Yeah.
But other than that.
You gotta put some slate tile down out there. You know what I mean? Make a little
on the floor.
On the floor.
I could
slate or flagstone.
Flagstone would look nice. But whatever I put down, I wouldn't want to adhere to it.
You want to hear it too. That new teak decking that you assemble.
I've looked at that too.
That's kind of cool too.
I'm also thinking about, like, is the word sisal matting?
Sisal matting.
Yeah, I had that on the porch before.
Yeah.
It looks kind of nice and
authentic. Yeah, nice. It doesn't live that long though. It gets water on it.
It doesn't get wet there.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it's covered.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
there's no driving rain that gets in there?
Maybe a little spray, but that's infrequent. I don't worry about that.
That together teak stuff is pretty neat.
Yeah.
You know?
A little pricey.
Yeah, it is a little pricey.
And it clicks.
Yeah, right. And it does make a little bit of noise when you put down. But if you put those little foam pads underneath on the little contact points, that would be. But it rocks. It does rock a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I like feeling the that substantial.
Well, we got it figured out.
Your suggestion is black bamboo. Have you got any of that laying around the nursery?
No, I don't have any black bamboo. Black bamboo is beautiful. It takes a while to get that black color. It's a very nice.
I've only got about 7 feet of height,
or you could use Mexican bamboo. Mexican bamboo.
Would you bring me some?
Mexican weeping bamboo. It's very, very beautiful. Mm. Very wispy, not really large, and it's good looking. Very good looking. You need a little bit more room because it weeps out. So
yeah. I had a crazy situation in the office this week.
Oh, you did?
It didn't involve home pro inspections directly, but I do a lot of consulting to real estate brokers when they get into weird situations. Right. Home inspector inspects a house, not one of ours, identifies an area on the ceiling, says, I think that could be mold.
Right.
Okay. Could have been. So he took a swab sample of it, sent it off to a lab, and it came back, said it was mold. No big deal. That started a daisy chain of confusion and bad decisions. So the seller brings in another person somehow or other, and that was a mold remediation company. They took a sample, just a swab sample of a stain on the ceiling. They took the sample, sent it off to a different lab, which is fine, came back and said, yeah, it was mold. They identified the species of mold and then gave a $7,000 bid to clean the mold and wrote down, this home is unsafe to live in. Completely threw this giant turd into this real estate transaction. And here's the problem.
Okay.
So the
plop.
Plop. Splat. Big old wet one.
Okay.
Here's the problem. The state is very specific on who can say and do what.
Right.
They licensing home inspectors, there's things we're able to take samples, that's okay. Then there's a group called mold assessors, then there's a group called mold remediators.
Right.
And the law requires you to stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. Okay. Is that like turn signal thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's what happens. A licensed mold assessor can take samples, just like a home inspection company. We can take samples.
Yeah, this mold.
The mold assessor can write a protocol to correct the situation.
But he can't declare it unsafe.
It's really weird that you would do that. But anyway, so stay with me. Uh-huh. So the assessor takes the sample and writes the protocol to clean it up.
Right.
The assessor cannot do the work that they've written an assessment on. They're trying to keep it pure.
Right.
That's the mold remediation company.
Right.
So this guy gave a proposal to remediate on something that he's assessed. And just to be sure, in his mind, to have a high probability of getting this work, he declared the home unsafe. Scare tactics, breaking the law, and doing all this nonsense. Right. And here's a person trying to buy a house and just understand where they are. There's a person trying to sell a house, and everyone's acting honorably, and they throw this giant, big old wet turd right into the middle of the thing.
Wet turd. Now we're going to wet turd.
Yeah.
Okay.
So know that, and it happens to be a complicator because it involves a purchase and sale, but in either case, know that if you call a company, an indoor air quality company, mold remediation, they use different terms, and they come out and they sample, and
they can't write a bid.
They cannot do the work to clean it.
Right. Okay.
Now, the home inspection company, we can do the sample, can't do the work, can't do any of that. So the advantage of using the home inspection company, who's familiar in these things, we do the moisture assessment, so you know, why is it there? What is the source of the water?
Right.
And we write that and share, how do you solve the wet problem? Very easy to do. If you end up with an assessor, they can assess, they cannot remediate. the remediator cannot remediate unless there's been an assessment. It's a weird thing. Probably the law is quite imperfect, if you can see how that would be. But at the same time, the rules are the rules. And when you're taken advantage of by a company who's intentionally breaking the law and intentionally scaring the holy bejoli out of you, and especially in purchase and sale, you don't do that. So stay in your lane.
Right.
Stay in your lane. When in doubt, give us a ring. And you know, very often we just end up solving it on the phone, which is what we're doing for this particular transaction. We're just working with the real estate agents, real estate brokers on both sides to explain, okay, these are the rules. This is the law. This is a path to get out of this turdy mess.
You like that word, turdy?
Turd.
Well, it's easy for you to spell. You know,
T-U-R-D.
I mean, only four letters. Hey, can you imagine sitting and drinking coffee at your coffee table for 20 years, you got a painting on your wall and said, well, I like that painting. I like that painting. I think I'm going to get it sold. You don't have, you bought it some yard sale.
Yeah.
And then you take it to get it appraised, and the guy said, oh, wow, this thing's worth $26 million.
What could happen?
Well, last month, a lady in France, I was reading an article that she took her painting to get appraised. You know, her $10 painting to get appraised, and it was worth $26 million.
I may do more of that. 7:21 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right on the phones. We've got Jack from the West Side checking in with us. That's always a great fun thing. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To make our community a better place, this is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Show 727, beautiful Saturday, Florida Georgia weekend, Veterans Day. We're just having a good old time. Good day to get out on the boat.
Yeah.
It'll be 70. It won't get all hot. It's just great. Heading over to the west side, which is the best side, checking in with Jack and share some thoughts on Weed Killer. Welcome, neighbor.
Good morning there, neighbor. Welcome to the west side, the best side. You are right correct there, sir.
Hey, I've got cardboard for you, and I have to apologize. My wife heard us talking about you needing cardboard.
Yes, sir.
And she stuck it all out on the porch when I went for my morning walk. I thought I was supposed to put that cardboard in the dumpster. So we're recollecting for you, and I'll get it over to you, or you can come on and get it. But I got cardboard for your weed suppression.
I'll come get it, because I know Larry would be proud of it.
Have you used cardboard before, Jack?
Yes, sir. You told me last year to use it, but I didn't put down enough, didn't really do what I should have done with the dirt on top of it.
Okay.
I was all proud of myself, thinking I took out the trash without being asked, and Tanya came back, and she said, what did you do with Jack's cardboard? I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, well, Wally, this is the first time for everything you've taken it out.
That's for sure.
Sorry. So what's on your mind this morning? What can we help with?
Well, I need to go across the creek, across the ditch, whatever you want to call that thing, and spray the weeds and brush back there, and I only want to do it one time because I can't wade that thing very often with a backpack on. What can I put down, Larry, that will kill it and I don't have to go back and do it again this year while it's good
Safari.
And dry?
Sahara. It's you spray it on the ground. Well, is there any trees or anything around there or what?
Yeah, yes, sir. A lot of trees.
You can't use that then.
No, okay.
Then something that lasts long. You know, you can use brush killer and then put some pre-emergent out there. That would be your best bet. You know,
brush killer and then pre-emergent after.
Yeah, pre-emergent, So, and then the pre-emergent in the spring, and then a couple months later, put another application, a pre-emergent. Mm-hmm. Really work on the pre-emergent thing, and then, getting the plants, getting the Roundup or the brush killer. Ortho brush killer is pretty good, 2,4-D. It's got 2,4-D in it and other stuff in there. pre-emergent is your best bet.
Okay, well, I got a neighbor over there that might let me come through his fence off of the other street, make it easier for me to get back in there. With I got real
you
smart
use granular.
Here.
You can use granular,
Yeah, okay. You use granular on the pre-emergent or on the...
on the gran. Once you use your brush killer, your pump up brush killer, then you just put some granular down. But you want to wait. Well, they have winter weeds, but you can put some down now, and then you could put some down in the spring, and then a couple months later, you know, you could use. You can get a little small handheld grind. I don't know how many square foot it is, but you get one of those small handheld.
Oh, it was about at least half an acre back there.
Oh, I'd put my Lurganite on it and call it a hedge and be done with it. That's too much work, Jack.
Well, that is a lot. Half an acre is a lot. I mean, you can get this little thing by Solo. It's called a belly grinder. You can carry it around your neck, and it carries a light amount, and that would be
just trying to keep it cut down because I don't want any vagrants setting up home sites back there.
There you go.
Okay.
I promise I won't. Got to run. 7:30 right. Here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, then more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. We'll be right back. Stay with us. 7:35 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. We are here with you and for you. Love being with you. If you'd like to check in with us, we're always happy about that. 855-765-1045. Water everywhere and not a drop to drink.
Yeah.
Water is what determines our health, our wellness, our cleanliness. We need great water.
We're water, basically, you know?
Yes, we are water. So you are what you eat. You are what you drink.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to assure that you're drinking water that tastes great, performs great, nourishes you and enriches you, you may consider altering your water, treating your water. Who do I trust for that? Who does Larry trust for that? Affordable Water. Affordable Water Jacks, .com, this website.
.com.
Our friends, Mark Kinder. Why? How do you choose? You know, knowing how to make good choices is an important thing.
Right.
How do you choose a company to treat your water or soften your water? You look at the experience of the company. 30 years. In fact, it was just last month, Mark and the company.
30 years.
30 years serving customers. A tremendous amount of experience. What about credentials? Master Water Specialist. That's a great credential. License number W32 or 36. I get it wrong and Mark gets mad at me. W32.
One between 1 and 30.
32. Who has a license number for anything?
Right,
it's
exactly.
32. Lots of credential, lots of experience, and a consultative approach to helping you choose the right thing, not have something sold to you. And it's very, very important that it is a consultative approach so that you can understand that if you want soft water, and there are many good reasons to have soft water, there's only one way to get it.
Right.
Through an ion exchange. There's only one way to have that ion exchange.
Test in, test out.
Test in, test out, and it is with the use of a salt.
Right.
The salt doesn't go into the water. The salt facilitates the cleaning of the medium so the medium can do the ion exchange correctly and pull that salt out. There's virtually none in the water. If you want zero sodium, you can have zero sodium. You can use a potassium-based salt. There's many, many good choices.
Yeah,
but when you understand choice,
right,
that's when you make the right decision. That is the right decision in the quality of the water that's done in an affordable way, and the right decision in the equipment used to do that, so you're not being sold things that don't serve the purpose that you desire or aren't needed in your particular situation.
And affordable. You want great drinking water. They can set you up with a great drinking water. I mean, you're spending
even more than drinking.
$7 a day. You know, you can get the system installed in your house for way less than that. And, not carrying around those plastic bottles. You know,
plastic bottles aren't good for you either.
Yeah, they're not good for you. Right.
It's not good for the earth. AffordableWaterJacks.com. Let's go check in with Tony and see if we can help him with his home inspection and his moles. Welcome, Tony.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, first thing, I love you guys' show. So
thanks. Thank you. We love you, too.
I got these moles, I guess, that, you know, where you can see the dirt coming up in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, what's the best thing to do?
Get rid of the insects.
Get rid of
them. You probably have grubs in your lawn. and they're after the insects. You know, they're insect eaters. They're not doing the, they don't particularly like voles. They'll eat the roots of plants, but moles are after insects. And normally in a yard, let's say the normal, you know, standard square foot yard that you have.
Yeah, mine's only like 1,500.
Yeah, you only got to have one or two moles in there. I mean, they're very, very, very territorial. They usually drive out the other competitors. But call your lawn care company or do yourself and put some insecticide on there that will kill grubs, and you should be in good shape. They may get a little more vigorous after you do that, because they're saying, well, I found a grub here last week. I should be able to find one this week. But then after that, they'll go away. All right?
Okay, that's cool. That's good. I am looking to sell and buy a new house. What's the best, home inspection? I know you guys are good at that.
Yeah.
Well, the right decision on the house to sell, the data says if you have your home inspected at the time you put it on the market, it will sell in less time and for more money. Are those two things good for you?
What was that, for less time and more money?
Right. Yeah. Your house will sell. The data supports that it will sell in less time, and you will net more money when the home is inspected at the time you put it on the market. And that's a good thing for you, yes? More money?
Everybody needs more money.
Yes. And that's why I think I'm interested in getting you guys to do a home inspection for me.
That's a great decision. And on the buy side, the what you want to assure is that the home inspection company that you choose is using infrared, they're using all the latest technologies, all the right credentials, and that they're also warranting the home. So that the five-year roof warranty to pay up to $5,000, the sewer guard warranty to protect your sewer line, the mold safe, so if mold shows up, they'll pay to do that. All of those things are included at zero additional cost with an inspection from our company. And there's 5,000 companies around the country using the same products that we're using, the same warranty service. So to select a company that's not using it is very, quite frankly, foolish. And it's been said by one or more attorneys that to refer a company not doing that could be deemed a negligent referral. So you want those good protections. But the easy thing to do is just go to the website, check out what's there, and then if you still choose to shop, you know what you're shopping against. And the website, you ready for it?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
GoHomePro.com, GoHomePro.com. Feel free to call the office. We've got folks in the office right now, or there's always somebody there.
24 hours.
There you go. And that number is 268-8211. Okey-doke.
1211. Okay. I got it. And I'll be calling y'all because it sounds good.
Thanks, Tony. You have a beautiful day.
Thanks.
You too. Bye.
All righty. In St. Augustine is a man named Todd who's got a problem with charpedo grass. Todd, we're sorry to hear that.
Yeah, me too. It's a bummer.
Yeah. What have you tried so far?
I just put down some stuff to get rid of some crabgrass. And I was told that it's not the right time of year to put them down, so I thought I'd call and see if you guys had any other recommendations.
Crabgrass or torpedo grass?
Well, I had redone my yard. I brought in a bunch of dirt, and then I got a bunch of sod delivered, and apparently the sod they delivered was loaded with weeds. Uh-huh. So I've got this torpedo grass now that I can't seem to get rid of. The crabgrass seems to be under control.
Yeah.
Yeah, torpedoes kind of take off.
You can use Dimension on crabgrass as long as it's up to one or two tillers. That means one or two sets of leaves. You know, Dimension is a very good, it has pre-emergent and post-emergent capacity. It does, so it's a pretty, very good product, Dimension. On torpedo grass, if you got it in St. Augustine, there's not much you could do besides, you have St. Augustine?
Yes.
There's not much you can do besides you can use Celsius for suppression, but there's not anything you really could do successfully in that besides getting the St. Augustine healthy and then some Celsius for suppression. So it was probably there originally before when you had your original lawn in there, but that's one of the things about St. Augustine. It does have some herbicide sensitivities. So increase the health of your St. Augustine by fertilizing and make it thicker and fuller, and then using some Celsius for suppression that will reduce the growth of it.
Okay.
But unfortunately. But if you're, for those who are planting new St. Augustine grass, you know, you can use Pro Vista, which is a St. Augustine grass that you can spray Roundup on.
Wow.
And Roundup works on pretty much anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It works on torpedo grass. It works on anything. So a precursor to planting your grass, you know, you want to figure out what kind of weeds you have. If you've had Bermuda, if you had this, you'd probably want to use Pro Vista. And it's a very, very good grass. It's a slow growing grass. It's darker green, needs less fertilizer, and you can spray Roundup on it. All right.
Thanks a bunch, Todd. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks.
All righty. Bob in Pontevedra looking to upgrade his exhaust fan. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, thank you. Hey, I'm getting ready to go from 100 CFM to 300 CFM in my bathroom exhaust fan.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the fan is not vented to the outside. It goes to the eave, and I've read that that's not a good idea. You should go through the roof or through the wall.
No, don't go through the roof or the wall. You can just go right through the eave. You can buy a little fixture that will take that duct right into that vent. And then it'll vent right to the outside through the eave. That's easy to do, very inexpensive. Okie doke.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
It's 7:46 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break. Jumping right back to the phones. So your calls. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 7:52 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Grateful that you are with us. This beautiful Veterans Weekend. Nice and cool. Make a little drizzle. Florida, Georgia, all this good stuff going on.
Good football.
Yeah, man. Our good friend Charlie's been very patient down there in Green Cove. We're happy to have you with us. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Charlie.
Good morning. Good morning. We need some questions on my crepe myrtles here.
Sure, sure.
Your crepe myrtles, how they doing?
Oh, they're doing great. They're doing great, Larry. Let me ask you, sure. When is a good time there? I'm going to try to do some seeds there. When is a good time to plant those seeds?
Some seedlings? Some seeds?
Yeah, the seeds.
You can do it right now. I mean, you can start them right now. If you, I think they need some cold to increase the rate of germination. Yeah, that a little bit of stratification or would be, you know, where you stick them in.
Just the leave them on the tree as they
six
are.
6 weeks. Stick them in the refrigerator. And then put them out, and then bring the soil temperature up to around 70 degrees, and you should be good.
Okay. Now, when is do I have to trim those things back? They are dwarf. They are about 8 feet tall now.
I remember we talked before. I wouldn't trim them back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought that.
Yeah, the growth on those dwarfs is so slow and precious, you know what I mean? If you want some more branching, you could – maybe tip pruning, you know, removing around.
They just look a little ugly once the leaves start dropping off of them.
Yeah, they do. Tip pruning would not be a bad idea. Just cutting the top 4 to 6 inches off of them, you know. Charlie, if you want to really get those crepe myrtles looking good, you know, you want to start in February. You want to get some mill organite. You want to get some Miracle-Gro fish emulsion.
They did a real good deal for me this year. I tell you, they were gorgeous.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Hey, you send us some pictures.
I will do.
What varieties did you have, Charlie?
Larry, don't ask me that. I got some that didn't do too well. They did black something.
Black Diamond.
Black Diamond. Now, they were very expensive buying them, but they didn't do as well as those other ones.
Yeah, they're a little slower. They're a little slower because of lack of chlorophyll. Yeah.
Yeah, they're real slow growing, I tell you. And the bloom is beautiful blooms on them, but they weren't. They're not like those other six I got out there. Man, they are, I tell you, they had some gorgeous bloom on them.
Well, glad to hear it. I know you've been calling me through the years about, you know, maintaining.
They were red. They were a beautiful red color.
Oh, great, great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Charlie. Okay, have a beautiful day.
All right.
And you also, buddy.
Bye, sir. All right. Fleming Island's got a little sand spur problem going on at Nicole's house. Nicole, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Well, thank you. I'm an accidental first-time listener. I got in, you were on the radio, and we are actually in the process of trying to figure out the transfers. And just for full disclosure, the problem's not in Clay County. It's my sister in Nassau County in Bryceville.
Oh, those Nassau County sand spurs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can't cure that,
well,
man.
Well, right now, the only thing you can do is make sure that you bag them. And then you want to start applying pre-emergent around March. About every 2 months, you want to apply it. And that will kill the emerging seedlings root system. And then Wally recommended you get your wool sweater and be drug across that.
Just roll across the ground, Nicole. That's what a loving sister would do.
But bagging the grass is very, very important right now, because you're going to get around 75 to 80% of the seeds up, you know, that you're going to get next year. And so bagging them and then putting the pre-emergent down in the spring every couple months.
And what we've been doing, just so you can tell me if maybe we're doing something wrong, that we're making it worse.
Yeah.
We've been trying. She has a half-acre lot, so it's a huge amount of, and her entire yard is covered. She apparently got some sand that was infested with it, when she added to her yard.
Mm-hmm.
We've been pulling them and burning them, you know, in a burn pit on site.
Well, pulling them is always good. But a half an acre of land is work. I admire your ingenuity. And
sisterhood.
Yeah.
Well, we've tried the pre-emergent, and maybe we're just not. Is there a certain pre-emergent that you recommend?
Pre-em is a very, pre-em is one that works effective against it. It's called pre-em. And you've got to start it early every 2 months. You know, do you want to put it down starting around March? As soon as the soil temperature gets up, you want to create a buildup of that pre-emergent in the soil. And then every 2 months, if you only put it down once and you miss your window of opportunity, then you're done. But you start early.
Nicole,
and you just keep putting it down until you don't need it
any
longer?
If you have that major problem, then you need to continue putting it down throughout the season.
All right. Well, thank you.
Whoa. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
I have a personal question for you on a professional matter. May I ask it?
Yes.
You said when you first came on air with us that you accidentally found us.
Yes.
I have two questions for you, Nicole. My first question, what were you looking for when you found us?
When I got in the truck, the station was on because I was, I'm a realtor, and so I was in the car trying to fight traffic yesterday, so I was listening to the news radio trying to figure out traffic yesterday, and when I got in the car this morning, you guys were on, so
who are you a real estate agent with?
I'm with INI Realty.
Very nice.
I mainly work with friends and family. I'm an investor, and so I mainly work with friends and family, but it's this traffic, I've recently moved to Fleming Island, and the traffic getting through Mandarin and across the bridge, I've learned that it's a very valuable tool listening to the radio.
Right. Well, you know, Home Pro Inspections would love to work with you, only for your friends and family, because the friends, people only refer Home Pro to friends and family. You can tell that.
I've actually worked with you guys before, and you are, right? And I'll give you that testimonial over air that, yes, you were very professional and you were very good for the clients that hired you.
Thank you. We're grateful for that thought. My next question is, now that you found Larry and I on the Home and Garden Show, we're here every Saturday from 6 until 8 a.m. We're also, you can watch the live stream on Facebook. You can watch it on LinkedIn, on YouTube. You found us accidentally. Will you be with us now forever?
I'll tell you, I will. Like I said, I recently moved to Fleming Island, and we are having to have a lot of stuff done. And our yard just recently got tore up because we lost some trees.
Mm-hmm.
They fell, and so they had to be pulled up, and our yard is a disaster. And so now we're like, okay, now we do get to plant what we want to plant, because the equipment that came in to pull the trees and the stumps and all up tore up our yard. So this is actually a great find for me this morning, not just for my sister, for the sand spurs.
So that sounded like a yes.
Yes, I will be listening.
She said yes. Thank you, Nicole.
We're up to three.
Have a beautiful day, man. We appreciate you.
You guys as well. Bye-bye.
7:59 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry, now grateful that you were with us. Enjoy Florida, Georgia. Stay alive. Stay safe. Have a beautiful Veterans Weekend, Veterans Day on Monday. And while you're doing all that, moving about town, do me this one favor. Use your turn signal. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.